subject that is very dear to me and one that I love to preach when the Lord blesses me with the spirit of preaching. The Great Commission. I would read, first of all, as a beginning scripture tonight, in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Again, we refer to this as the Great Commission verses of the Bible. Yet we find in the Gospel of Matthew giving an account of this Great Commission. And I would say concerning the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I know that they repeated themselves to some degree, but maybe they all said it in a different way, but they all said basically the same thing. Nothing that either of the gospel writers recorded about Christ and what he did and what he said contradicts in any way, but it all harmonizes beautifully when we're blessed of the Lord to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I believe that we can find Luke referring to the commission and saying, again, things that are very meaningful to us. And the thought that I would like to get from the Gospel of Luke would be one verse of Scripture found in the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And verse 48, And ye are witnesses of these things. Notice Christ telling them in verse 47, And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now remember that the Great Commission was given directly to the apostles. Now, to understand the Bible, as I said this morning, you've got to study and rightly divide the word of truth. Now, it's impossible for me as a minister of the gospel tonight to carry the gospel to the Jews because Christ has taken it from them. Now, it didn't start out that way. It started out with the Jews having it and the Gentiles not having it. Remember the first commission Christ gave the apostles? He said, Go not into the way of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't say go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Who heard as a Gentile the gospel for the first time? Cornelius. And when God told Peter to go preach it to him, Peter even argued with God. He said, not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean's ever entered my mouth. The Jews looked on the Gentiles as dogs and the very filth of the world. They had nothing to do with Gentiles at all. And yet, realizing, and I want to say this, and it might clear up the minds of someone here tonight that's been bothered about some things in the Bible concerning the purpose of the gospel. If the gospel is a means by which God has chosen to help populate heaven, then why did God not give the gospel to all men in the beginning? What happened to all those people that God would not let hear the gospel up until the time that Peter preached it to Cornelius? If you'll turn with me tonight in Acts, the 13th chapter, and we'll begin in verse 46, we'll find the transition in the gospel being taken from the Jews and given to the Gentiles. In this particular chapter, we begin in verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God, which is the gospel, should first have been spoken to you. Now, why was it necessary that the gospel first be spoken to the Jews? Simply because that God chose to give the gospel, first of all, to the Jewish nation of people. I will find something concerning this in the book of Corinthians, if I remember correctly, how that he says, beginning in verse 22, for the Jews require signs, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now I want us to notice the importance of preaching the gospel to the called. I do not believe that you can preach the gospel to anybody, it matters not who they may be, until they have been called by God. I know that the gospel must, as the Bible says, it is first given to the Jews, or it is given to God's people among the Jewish nation. But we realize that the Jews rejected Christ. The Jews, as John records, he came unto his own. His own received him not. Who were his own? The Jews. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power, the ability, the authority, to become the sons of God, the manifest sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. I'm reading in John the first chapter. Even to them which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. Notice these people had already been born of God. And so it was necessary that the word of God, the gospel, should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now we believe that the Jews took the gospel so lightly, they took Christ so lightly, that they crucified Christ. And we realize that a real Orthodox Jew tonight is still wailing and looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's already come and been gone now for almost 2,000 years. And the next time he comes, he's not going to come to reign in an earthly kingdom over at Jerusalem, but he's coming for his bride. But notice how he says, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. And I wish tonight, as I preach to Gentiles throughout this country, that all of them that were blessed to hear the gospel would be like these. They were glad. Are you glad you're here tonight? We ought to be if we're not. We ought to be glad. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be happy. With David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. They didn't glorify the preacher. Peter wouldn't let Cornelius glorify him. And any man that'll let people glorify him is a poor servant of God. We don't need any glory. We don't deserve any glory. We want God to have the glory because he's the one that deserves all glory, praise, and honor. And so they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, how many believed the gospel? As many as were ordained to eternal life. You see, before you can believe, it is necessary that you be ordained to eternal life. This is the way that God does it. And I'm glad that I believe these commissions, and I probably will not have the time nor the ability tonight to go into all the things that is very weighty upon my mind, but I trust that God will bless me to take the gospel brush and paint for you the picture that is very weighty upon our hearts in this hour. As Christ gives this commission to his apostles, he said unto them, go ye into all the world. I'm now going to allow you to not only preach the gospel to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now notice, as these men went into all the world, they were to preach what? The gospel. Not a gospel, but the gospel. Paul says in Galatians, if any man come among you and preach any other gospel than that that I preach unto you, though it be an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. Don't bid him God speak. There is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now the word gospel is taken from a Greek word that means God's fail. In other words, I've never heard anybody define the gospel any better than I read this the other day and then put it together. The gospel spells God. God spells. The gospel spells God. Notice Jesus says, all power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. Now I know gospel means good news, glad tidings, and the gospel is a proclamation. It is not a proposition. God doesn't use the gospel to proposition you to see if you will accept life, because you'll never hear the gospel and really hear it in the power of the Spirit of God until when? Until you've been born again. If I had the time tonight and you would allow me to stay here until 30 tonight, I could go through the New Testament and I can show you every time that one of God's preachers preached the gospel to a new person before they ever got there to preach the gospel, God had already worked a work of grace in the heart of that individual. Let's deal with several of them now. What about the eunuch who was reading his Bible? He was interested, wasn't he? Where was he reading? He was reading over in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And notice how the Spirit of God called Philip to go south and join himself to the chair. And what did he ask the eunuch? He said, understandest that that thou readest? In other words, do you understand Isaiah 53? And I love the answer the eunuch gave him. He said, how can I understand except some man guide me? And the word guide means to teach and instruct. Now, if everybody in the church could understand the Bible as well as preachers, then what would we need preachers for? Now, one of the qualifications of a minister is to be apt to teach. And how can you teach something that you don't know? Now, the Lord showed me this the other day. The God that wrote this Bible can help me understand it. I believe that. And I believe through prayer and diligent study of the Word of God, God will help me understand this. And there's no one that wants to teach and instruct and guide God's people any more than I do. But as I have been trying to teach the Bible in our churches for now about 12 years, I've found the hardest job that I've ever come across is trying to unteach people. Now, my father used to say, and he preached for 45 years, and he was a voice of experience. He said, before you can teach some people the Bible, you've got to unteach it. Now, if a child has been taught 2 and 2 is 5 by mother, and the teacher says 2 and 2 is 4, the child says, no, mama said 2 and 2 is 5, and I believe mama rather than you. And I have more patience than I used to with people that don't believe like I do. Because everybody hasn't been exposed to salvation by grace all their life like I have. I thank God that I have been exposed to it. And I've always believed this. I've never believed anything else. And it's hard for those of us that have been brought up in this to be long-suffering with others that just cannot understand it as we see it. And so, again, it's been very difficult for me to try to unteach people, and also it's very difficult for me to try to get people to quit doing the impossible, quit trying to do God's work and do what they can and ought to do. Now, I believe that God's people can only do that God gives them the ability to do. And if God's people could save themselves, if there is something tonight that a person can do to save himself for heaven, then I would ask you one question. Why did God send his son into this world to die? If salvation could have come any other way other than by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you know God would not have given his son, but there was no other way? The law of Moses, there's nothing wrong with that. It was a good law, a holy law, a just law, the perfect law, but man broke that law. And that law had to be kept. And Jesus didn't destroy the law, but he dotted the law. He dotted every I and crossed every T. That's what the jot and the tittle means in the law. In the Greek language, that dots the I and crosses the T. He dotted every I and he crossed every T. He fulfilled the law. And so, I hope tonight, and I hope if you're trying to understand the doctrines of grace, that you'll remember that the Bible speaks of two salvations. A salvation in which we are completely passive, which is an eternal salvation. And I believe that salvation is none other than Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, someone says, well, I believe that, Brother Bryant, but I've got to accept the gift in order for it to be mine. Well, I'm going to prove to you that you don't have to accept something in order for it to be yours. Recently, I heard one of our preachers preaching about having the Hong Kong flu. And he said he and his wife were deathly sick for about a week there, and they didn't know what they had, and they went down to the doctor, and the doctor told him, he says, Brother Ballard, he says, you got the Hong Kong flu. Brother Ballard said he knew he'd had something. And Brother Ballard said he never did know what he had, but said he'd had the Hong Kong flu for a week and didn't know what he had. And I'll tell you what Brother Ballard said. He said, if you'd had to accept the Hong Kong flu to get it, that I never would have gotten it. I'm going to tell you this tonight. I believe that the Bible, and I will tell all of you tonight, and I'll save you some time, but if you don't believe me, you'll find all the other good things while you're looking for it. There's not a place in this Bible from Genesis to Revelation where you'll ever show me that you have to accept Christ in order for him to be your Savior. But there is a verse over there in Ephesians where it reads that we have been made accepted into the beloved. It's not you're accepting him, but it's his accepting us. And so, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you believe tonight from your heart that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God, whether you believe anything else I say tonight or not. Heaven's going to be your home. I can promise you that. If you believe from your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may differ with me as to how we will be in heaven, but I'll assure you one thing, heaven will be just as sweet to you as it will be to me. But I'll say this, I'll get a whole lot more out of the joys of my salvation than you do. Because right now, I realize that the battle is over. You know, some people don't like the name Primitive Baptist. First of all, the word primitive sort of sounds like being a caveman. We just don't, in the modern times that we're living in, we just don't like that word primitive. Because it just sounds so much like a caveman. I pastored a church a while back. There was a school teacher, a member of the church, and she asked us why we didn't change our name from being Primitive Baptist. I said, well, first of all, the word primitive means first. It means original. And I love to be called a Primitive Baptist, because in the division of the Baptists in 1832 in the state of Georgia, we remain the old school of the first or the original Baptist, which all Baptists up until then and prior to this time, several years before, believed these very doctrines that I preach tonight. Jesse Mercer. Mercer University in Macon, Georgia, was named after a Baptist minister by the name of Jesse Mercer. History tells us that the Baptists during this time were having problems, and they met for a discussion. Jesse Mercer, who was moderating, walked before the congregation. He set forth his views and his beliefs concerning the salvation of God's children and the doctrine of election, and they said Elder Mercer broke down in tears and said, brethren, if there be no election, then there is no salvation for me. Now, Mercer University had strayed a long way from the man that they were named after. And so, we are the Primitive Baptist Church. Now, a lot of people, and especially people that have a lot of money, and most of us common livers can't afford to do this. But I know people that love antiques, and they'll fly all over the country. I couldn't imagine and believe the other night how much they paid for the expense that of Paul Revere, that great rider, Paul Revere, way up in the thousands. Was it something like $60,000 they paid for that little piece of paper with Paul Revere's expense account on it? And people will drive all over the country, and they'll spend hard-earned dollars to buy an antique. But when it comes to buying antiques, they'll tell you to start with, don't you touch one screw. Don't you touch one knob. I want it just like it was. But when it comes to religion, people just don't want the antique. They don't want the doctrine of Christ and the apostles. They won't like the seven women over in Isaiah. They say, come to Christ, we'll eat our own bread. Yes, we'll preach our own doctrine. We'll wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. You see, they're going to do all this in the name of Christ to sort of hide their little things behind his name. But I tell you, he said there, in that same day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. And I believe that branch of the Lord is blooming forth in our nation today. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want to ask all of you tonight, if you know who the every creature that these apostles were to preach the gospel to. Now, I'm going to read in the Bible the writings of the Apostle Paul to the young preacher Timothy. And we're going to try to help you understand how to study the Bible on this text especially. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, it says every creature of God is good. Now, a cow is a creature of God. A chicken is a creature of God. A hog is a creature of God. Now, I just read it. For every creature of God is good if it be received with thanksgiving. And yet he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, Brother Fryer, are you supposed to go out and preach the gospel to a hog or a cow? Now, the Bible says preach it to every creature. Now, that's where you have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Who is the every creature that I am commissioned to preach the gospel to? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. I believe we'll find the every creature. Here, the Apostle Paul deals with the every creature. The Apostle Paul is telling us, behold, if any man be in Christ Jesus, behold, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now notice that. Paul says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, behold, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. Now notice this. Paul says in Ephesians 2:9, we are created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice that. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now notice that. That Paul is telling us, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, to every creature that I'm to preach the gospel to are those that God has made a spiritual creature by the spiritual regeneration or that heavenly birth. Now notice, as we go into this stuff, he says, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I want you to notice the credentials of the apostles. Now, this was an apostolic commission. It was not a commission to me because I do not qualify as one of these apostles. And these signs or credentials shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now the men that Christ told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to, these men could pick up a snake, and the snake could bite him, and it wouldn't do him any harm. Now I can prove that in Acts, where Paul was shipwrecked, and remember they built the fire, and that poisonous snake came out and grabbed Paul like this, and those people that lived on the island, they thought any minute Paul would fall over dead, because everybody else, they knew that if they had ever been bitten by a snake like that, they died instantly. But it didn't hurt Paul. Why? Now, they shall cast out devils. I tell you, if I could cast out devils, I'd cast one out of me every day. I'll grant you one thing. I wish I had the power to cast out devils, because I'd have a lot of trouble with devils myself. They shall speak with new tongues, a new language. Do you know anybody among us today that can do what Peter did on the day of Pentecost? Not anybody knows of a man like that. Everybody heard Peter in his own language. Why? Because God gave him that special power. That they shall drink something that's poisonous and it won't hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I don't believe in divine healers. I don't believe there's a man on the face of this earth tonight that is a divine healer. I believe in divine healing. And I'll tell you who the divine healer is. It's God. We don't have a man. We don't have a man anywhere. When I was in school, and since then, she committed suicide. One of our classmates had a hearing problem. A young girl there, dear friend of mine, drove all the way to Oklahoma thinking that Oral Roberts would be able to heal her, that she could hear out of her ear. Well, she drove all the way out to Oklahoma, and she hasn't seen Oral Roberts yet. And a lot of other people that drove out there that I know never saw him. Why? Because the man couldn't do what he said he could do, but he got rich. He got rich using the Bible and using God to build an empire. He's one of the wealthiest men in our nation today. Somebody said, well, Brother Bryant, you quit knocking. I'm not knocking anybody. God's Word knocks. God's Word says that these men that were given this original commission, and notice this, they shall pick up serpents. I'll tell you, Wendy Bagwell pretty well put it like Brother E.D. believes it. When he went to that thing and they were handling them snakes, and, you know, they wanted Brother Wendy to pick up one of those rattlesnakes. And Brother Wendy's like Brother E.D. He's scared of snakes, dead ones and live ones, and it just didn't matter. He was scared of them. And one of them said, Brother Wendy, do you mean to tell me that if the Lord told you to take up a serpent with a tail, you wouldn't do it? Brother Wendy said, I didn't say that. I said the Lord hadn't, and I ain't. Brother, I amen, Brother Wendy Bagwell tonight, but I'm going to tell you this. If I was one of the men that Christ gave this a commission to, I could go out and pick up a rattlesnake, and the snake could bite me, and it wouldn't do me any harm. I could go out and drink strychnine, and it wouldn't do me any harm. Notice the credentials that follow these men that this commission was given to. And I'm going to prove, if God will bless me tonight, that the men that Christ told to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, I'm going to prove to you before they died, they did exactly that. Go over in Colossians, the first chapter, and the 23rd verse. if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I call and made a minister. Is that enough for you? The gospel which was preached to every creature under heaven. Sounds like they did a pretty good job to me. Read over in Romans 10 and verse 18. Romans 10 and 18. I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Notice that. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Whose sound? The sound of the apostles. And so, the apostles, and even here in Mark it says, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. These men went and preached. But notice now, as we are not able today as ministers to preach the gospel to the Jews unless God sees fit to graft them back in, as we find in a diligent study of the 11th chapter of Romans, the Bible says that we as Gentiles be not high-minded, but fear lest we, like the Jews, be cut off. And he tells us that the Jews were the natural branches, and we are wild by nature. And he says we ought to be careful, and we ought to take heed, because if God cut the Jews off, God can cut the Gentiles off as well. And I sometimes wonder when God's going to cut us off, because the Gentiles haven't appreciated the gospel like we should. Notice, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, if you're going to apply that to heaven, then it's not enough for a man to believe. He's got to be baptized as well. Now, I've been reading some books here lately, and one of the books teaches that there are some people that believe that baptism is everything. If you don't get baptized by a certain preacher into a certain church, then you just don't have any hope at all of being up yonder. In other words, you're left out. But we've got a good one for them. There's a fountain filled with water drawn from the city main, and sinners plunge thereunto, and yet their sin remains. Brother, if baptism washes away sin, I want somebody to stand up right now and tell me what sins went floating down the river when John the Baptist baptized Christ. You see, baptism doesn't wash away sin, does it? The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And for you to tell me that a man can get his sins forgiven by being baptized is to call the Bible a lie. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Okay, let's go over and ask. I'm not afraid of it. I know in Pentecost, Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I believe in repentance. The word repent means to turn from. There were some people here in Peter that very moment that were worshiping God under Judaism. They needed to repent of that. Turn from Judaism. Turn from trusting in the law for your salvation. Repent and be baptized in the name. It doesn't say be baptized in the Christ, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that means Savior anointed for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't read there the word ice meaning in order to for the remission of sin, but rather in view of Christ. Christ said himself in the Lord's Supper, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. You see, Christ's blood remits sins. But you are to repent. You are to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people believe that if you'll just give a man a gospel sandwich and a water polish, you got him on his way to heaven. But brother, it takes more than a gospel sandwich and a water polish to get a man to heaven. I want you to know that. A gospel sandwich and a water polish won't get the job done. Now, you hear me? Now, baptism is not everything. Now, some people think baptism is anything. Now, some people believe that baptism is anything. I shall never forget telling this, and we got some children here tonight. I don't try to be a comedian in the pulpit, but I want little lambs around our churches to understand that they will be able to of seeing these things, and I told this one time, it helped one of our young boys on the school bus one day if somebody was making fun of our doctrine. This man was always talking about how you could take a goat and baptize him and make a lamb out of it. You know, there's a lot of people really think that before you go in the water, you're a goat, and after you come out of the water, you are not any longer a goat, you're just, you've turned into a sheep. Well, two little boys heard their pastor preach on that one Sunday, so the next week one of them had a goat. He said, well, you know, I'm tired of this old stinking goat. I want me a little lamb. So they said, well, my preacher said you can make a lamb out of it and just carry him down to Daddy's pond. So they took him down to Daddy's pond. They led him out in the water, and they finally, I tell you, it's hard to get a goat in the water to start with. You know, it's just hard to get him in there. But once they got him in there, they finally managed to get him under the water, and when they did, they brought him up. One little boy looked at the other one and said, what we got? He said, we got a wet goat. He said, well, said, my preacher wouldn't tell any story. Said, my preacher said you can take a goat and baptize him and make a lamb out of him. So they took him and they held him under a little longer this time. They brought him up. What we got? We still got a wet goat. Well, my preacher wouldn't tell something that's not true. I know we can make a lamb out of this goat, so we'll do a better job this time. They held him and held him and held him and held him. They brought him up. The little fellow said, what we got now? Then we got a dead goat. Amen. Got a dead goat. I'm going to tell you one thing. If a man not a child of God before he goes in the water, he'll not be a child of God when he comes out of the water. Now, I want you to know tonight, baptism is not anything. I tell you what the word baptism means. It means to immerse. It means to cover over. Baptism. That's what the word baptism is. It's always meant that until a few years after Christ left this earth and others began to bring in other things concerning this. And I know some people that I preach to every Sunday that think baptism is nothing. In other words, by the way they don't come down the aisle, they must think it's nothing. And I'm going to tell you this. If there's any Highlanders here tonight, you know what a Highlander is? You know, I believe that God gives, you know, a colored preacher was preaching on baptism one time. He says, I believe when God regenerates people, he gives them a duck-like nature and a duck loves water. And they just, some people around the old Baptist church scared to death of water. I don't know what they're scared of. There's nothing to be afraid of about water. I can say tonight, some 13 years ago, when God's servant laid me beneath the baptismal waters, I came up with an answer. I'm a good conscience toward God. Brother, I had a good conscience before I ever went in the water, but I answered the good conscience that God gave me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And there is a salvation in this Bible that we call a gospel salvation. Now, if Ephesians 2:8 is talking about eternal salvation, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. What's this verse talking about? Paul told Timothy, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, do you believe Timothy was a saved individual? I know he was. He was a preacher. He's a saved man of God. But Paul says, take heed unto yourself, Timothy, and under the doctrine, for so in doing, you're going to save yourself and them that hear thee. There's a salvation or a deliverance. Every time you read the word saved in the Bible, it's not talking about being saved from the flaming fires of hell to the portals of glory. A lot of times it's talking about a timely deliverance in this world. Notice Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 beginning, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. You can be saved here tonight, gospelly, if you'll keep in memory and remember what I'm trying to preach to you. There's a deliverance here in this of the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I'm not afraid of that text one bit in the world. I believe it with all my heart. He that believeth not shall be damned. I believe the word damned there means condemned. And I believe there are many of God's children tonight who have condemned consciences because they haven't followed Christ in baptism. And you're going to have that condemned conscience until you do what the Bible tells us in the writings of Peter. Peter cleared it up forever as to what baptism does for the child of God. Peter tells us concerning baptism. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Peter says it saves us right now. a present now salvation. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some people that go in, some people say, well, why don't you come on and get baptized? Well, one man said it wouldn't do me any good. Well, why wouldn't it do me any good? He said, well, all that would happen to me is I'd go in the water dry and I'd come out wet. And I've seen some people, I think, pretty well lived up to that. That's all that happened to them, because they didn't come out to walk in newness of life, did they? And, you know, if baptism would save a man from hell to heaven, old John the Baptist sure turned down a wonderful opportunity, didn't he, to save some people one time. Those people came and they wanted to be baptized at the hands of John. And some people think Brother E.D. is sort of a hard preacher. They think sometimes I get a little too hard with my preaching, but I never have called nobody a snake yet. You know what John the Baptist did? He said, oh, ye generation of vipers. What's the vipers? The snakes. He said, oh, ye generation of vipers, snakes, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, bring ye therefore fruit meet a worthy repentance, and then I'll baptize you. I believe that I know how to get people in the church. But if I got them in there, I wouldn't have the people in there a lot of times that ought to be in there. You just open your church doors, come one, come all, let's have a big ball, and that's what you're going to have. And that's what's wrong in religion today. They've opened up the doors of the church, and everything and everybody has come in. And we want people that are repentant believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want people that's been a change in their life. And so these men went in all the world, and they preached the gospel to every creature. And I believe tonight that we are witnesses of the things that God has done for us. That's what the Bible, sometimes get your concordance out and look up the word witness. We are witnesses. You know what a witness is in a courtroom? He's a man that bears testimony of something that he's experienced, or something that he's seen. And I'll tell you tonight, I'm a witness as I stand before you tonight that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm a witness that he's a Savior of sinners. I'm a witness that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm a witness to you tonight that all the Father hath given him shall come to him, and him that cometh unto me, Christ says, I will in no wise cast out. I'm a witness tonight telling you that Christ said in Matthew 11, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, come and I'll give you life, did he? He said, come unto me, all of you that labor and a heavy laden, laboring under that burden. You're burdened. You love God. Why do you love God? You love God because he first loved you. Learn that one. We love him because he first loved us. John said, herein is love, not that we love God. The history behind that song, there was a great popular woman in England who was a great performer in the great theaters of England. One night she was on her way for the perform. She went by a little place where some Christians had gathered together, and they were singing, depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? She stood there and silently listened to the words of that song. The next night the same thing happened, and she went inside. She listened and she wept. And when she went on stage that evening to perform, when everyone was ready to hear her sing, she began in a most powerful way to sing those words, depth of mercy can there be, mercy still reserved for me. Brother, I'll tell you, there's a God in heaven tonight. He's working. He's working. I want you to know, though there are many of God's little children, we're out here near Gracewood. There are many of God's children living in that home out at Gracewood. There are many of them living in the asylum up in Hillsville, Georgia. I have an old brother who was a deacon of a church that I pastored. He retired from the state hospital in Hillsville. He said there was a woman there that he knew. He said she had no mind at all, but he said many a day she would walk, he would walk in a room to say hello to her. He said she would be rocking in her rocking chair, and she would be singing hymn number 128. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from a man Daniel's veins, and Sarah's funds thereunto, and I pray that your child of God tonight, for this old woman, though her mind was gone, my old daddy, who lived and preached 45 years, he had cerebral hemorrhages, he lost much of his mind. I saw my daddy at times, we had to take a key and lock him in a room. His mind got so bad, but I'll tell you this, my daddy's mind got so bad, but he had a mind that never went bad. He had a mind that God gave him, and my old daddy, he lost his speech, he could not talk. I've got a tape at home with his voice on it. My daddy could never preach after he had these strokes and cerebral hemorrhages, but my daddy could stand before God's children and say, the Lord has been so good to me. I've seen my old daddy and others of God's people, I've seen him get down and take off his shoes in his feeble condition and wash feet. We sat in the God's house in a wheelchair. He lost his mind, more or less, but he still had a mind that was new and fresh. I'm telling you here tonight, dear child of God, the old Baptist doctrine is the only doctrine in this world that'll take you in the little infant babe born into this world. And I'm going to tell you this, I believe there are many of God's children that are being killed by abortion. I believe abortion is legal murder. There's a doctor out west right now under trial because of a 7-month fetus that he supposedly took its life in abortion. And the nurse ran and said, doctor, the fetus is not dead. The doctor went back in, and this little fetus, 7 months old, I'm telling you the truth. I'm verified in the Savannah Morning News. That doctor took that little 7-month-old fetus and choked it to death. They got him on trial tonight. I'm going to tell you, dear child of God, tonight, what the old Baptists are preaching will take care of that little 7-month-old fetus that was choked to death. It'll take care of that little babe that was stillborn. It'll take care of that little babe. I'm telling you about a God that worked in John the Baptist 3 months before he was ever born from his mother's womb. He leaped for joy there. Why? Because God was with him. I'm going to tell you this. If a person has got to hear the gospel, and a person's got to believe, and a person's got to be baptized in order to go to heaven, what's going to happen to little babies that die in infancy? Well, somebody said they're not sinners until they get 12 years old. Oh, yes, they are. The Bible says in David, nobody ever said it's not my baby, it's not your baby either. But the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says David was made to hope on his mother's breast. And the Bible says David in his own writings, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Job said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? I'm telling you tonight, little babies, I know they're not sinners in the sense I am and you are. But I'll tell you this, if you don't believe a little baby has got the devil in him, or you let him get in your house, and you let that little baby get hungry for the bottle, and mama be in the kitchen doing something else, and you let mama not go right when he gets hungry, and that little face will turn just as red as blood, and that little mouth will open wide open, and he'll scream, or you quit doing what you're doing and come to him. Why? Because he's got Adam in him, friend. I'll tell you this, the reason you go in the cemetery, you see the little grave, you see the big grave, why are they there? Because of sin. But I believe tonight, the doctrine that I'm preaching, it'll reach God's elect family, even among us. I believe the little infant saved, like a 100-year-old man, he's saved by the grace of God. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. I would go tonight if God would send me. I tell you this, brethren, if God had burned me to go to China, I believe before I got there, God would go to China. God would have a people waiting for me. When I got there, I read of Paul and Silas. They went down to meeting one time, and it wasn't in the cathedral either. It was down by the riverside, and there was a woman by the name of Lydia, and she was a seller of purple. And the Bible says, these men preached the gospel, and the Bible says, whose heart the Lord opened. You've heard men say, open your heart. I'll read where God opened Lydia's heart. She would have never opened her heart. I want you to know tonight, you young people, you've got nothing to be ashamed of in your schools. When I was a young man, I went off to college at Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College at Tifton, Georgia. I had very little knowledge, even though I'd been exposed to this all my childhood. I shall never forget the feeling of loneliness that I had on that morning when all the religions from the town came to our assembly to invite us out to their churches. I wasn't a member of the church at that time, but if I had been a member, it would have been a Primitive Baptist. And they call out the denomination Primitive Baptist. Not the first young person in that auditorium stood. And I was ashamed at that time to let anybody know that I was one of us only kind. And I wouldn't. And I kept my seat. I went with another group. But I have said publicly, and I say again here tonight, at Augusta, Georgia, Martinez, Georgia, I could go back to Abraham Baldwin College one more time, and they'd call out a people that believe that salvation is alone with the grace of God. So they call them old hard shell, old out-of-date primitive Baptist. Here's one man, if I had to, I'd get out on my knees and crawl out of there by myself. I'm not ashamed of it, brother. I'm not ashamed of it. Sam Rayburn took the shoes off his feet and walked down the aisle of a little old church out in Texas, feeling so unworthy, so unfit. I tell you tonight, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. I believe we ought to go as God opens the field for us. I don't want you all to get discouraged here at your church. I realize maybe you're not going as fast as you would like to go, but I want to say this to you. Fear not, little flock, for God, I better be a little flock and have what I've enjoyed here tonight than to have the great crowd. And I know, and you know how it is in those places. I tell you sometimes, to serve your God, you got to stand alone. You got to turn your back on your family. You got to turn your back sometimes on the nearest and the dearest to you on this earth. I can say this, for tonight, I've read of preachers. My own daddy had this experience. There was a woman that joined the church, and this woman wanted to be baptized, and her husband, he sent words by the brethren and came to my daddy and told daddy. He said, if you go and baptize her, I'm going to take my gun and shoot you. And I'll tell you what my daddy did. He went and he said, if the woman wants to be baptized, I'll leave the man up to God. And you know what the man did that was going to shoot my daddy? When my daddy got to church that morning, the man that was going to shoot my daddy for baptizing his wife walked across the churchyard and opened up his billfold and gave my father a $5 bill. Brother, the Bible says that the wrath of God, or the wrath of man, God can restrain. The wrath of man, rather, will praise God, and the remainder of man's wrath, God can restrain. I've got a book at home by Wilson Thompson. Boy, as I told you, I might need all that tape, didn't I? And I might before it's over with. I've got a book at home where there was an old slave in Wilson Thompson's life. He loved the doctrines of grace. He wanted to be baptized. And his slave master said, no. He says, if you go out there and join those people and be baptized, I'm going to beat you. And so he said, I'm going to beat you with the whip. And so he went ahead and joined anyhow. And he wanted to be baptized. And Brother Thompson said, well, what about your master? He said, well, said, I respect my master, but said, I've got two masters. I've got a master over yonder that owns me, but I got another master in heaven. I'm not going to worry about my master over yonder because I got a master in heaven. And you know what? Brother Thompson went ahead and baptized him. That's in Brother Bradley's little paper that he put out recently about his 25th anniversary about that old slave nigger. And so the story goes on. For a while, the master didn't find out about old Uncle John getting baptized. But finally, his daughter told him, and rather than the old man beat the slave, he said, ever since, he said, there's something, I knew something had happened to him, that he's been the best slave I've ever had for the last few weeks. And said, I would to God, Mr. Thompson, take every nigga I got and baptize him. If I don't do it for him. So I'm going to tell you, friends tonight, the Almighty God of heaven, though they be black, though they be white, though they be red, though they be yellow, God's got a people among every kindred, among every nation, upon the face of this earth tonight. And we as Primitive Baptists tonight ought to be thanking God for the truth that God has blessed us. And I glory as I come here and I see God working among you, and I see you that have enjoyed the truth of God and still enjoyed us. And the poet said in the hymn, it's better far alone. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. For Christ's sake.
Dear listeners,